Today is the Gaudete Sunday. We rejoice Sunday in the season of Advent. On this day, we have the taking of the first vows of our convent, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and also the taking of the habit and the receiving of the habit of the bishop as well. And then, so it's a beautiful day for Our Lady of Mount Carmel, taking the first vows and taking of the habit. In the epistle for the first Sunday of Advent, which is the third Sunday of Advent, rather than Sunday. Second St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord again, always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and in supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. May the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the Gospel. Taken from St. John, chapter 1. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny. And he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" He answered, "No." They therefore said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith Isaiah the prophet." And they who had been sent were from among the Pharisees. And they asked him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John said to them in answer, "I baptize with water, but in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, who has been set above me, the strap of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things took place at Bethlehem beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus far the words of the days. A few considerations on this Gaudete Sunday on one of the solutions to the problem of sadness. We read in the Holy Gospel, in one simple passage in the life of Christ, the complete summary of what it is to follow Christ completely and perfectly. One day a rich young man came to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to him, "Lord, I find something lacking in me." And it's interesting, in our times, a few years ago, after World War II, the generation called the baby boomers, these people thought there was nothing lacking in them. And they are going to be very happy without Christ in the revolution of the 1960s. And there was going to be all kinds of pleasure throughout the world because of Vatican II. And all the revolution of the 60s. There was going to be free love and no restrictions, and joy would spread through the entire world. What happened? More suicides than any other time in human history. More destruction and broken homes than any other time in human history. Greater depression than any other time in human history. So that more than 60% of all Americans and Westerners all have to take psychotropic medications to cover their sadness. They were going to find happiness in pleasure and joy in the world. And they tried it, and it didn't work. There was a rich young man who was not wicked like unto these people of our times. But he also tried to live a good life without giving all. He tried to give a good life by just following the rules. And he followed all the rules. He obeyed the commandments. He did his little works of charity, giving to the poor here and there. He listened to the superiors, the rabbis, and the priests that spoke to him and prayed for him. But he felt something lacking. He felt something empty, but he could not understand what it was. This man heard that Jesus Christ was coming by. And he is a great prophet. And he performs many miracles. And he is a very wise man. So I will go to him and I will ask him, Lord, is there something lacking in me? He feels something lacking, but he did his examination of conscience, just like many people do before they go to confession. Haven't murdered my husband lately. Haven't beaten me up lately. Haven't committed any grave sins lately. Said my rosary 12 times in a row. I'm doing fine. But why are you not so happy? Why is there still sadness? Why is there not great joy? You checked off everything on the list. And now you're tired after so many years of checking everything off on the list. And the rich young man was tired. He wasn't wicked like many modern men. But he felt there's something lacking in me. He goes and asks Christ. And once the conclusion of his meeting with our Lord, he walks away sad. And when he walks away sad, he gives to the answer. What's the cause of sadness? He goes to our Lord Jesus Christ and he asks him, Master, I find there's something lacking in me. And he is saying a lie. Because his heart tells him there's something lacking in himself, but his mind tells him he's not. I'm obeying all the rules. I'm doing all the things they told me to do. Didn't get married 12 times. I did all the things they told me to do. I go to church, I say my prayers, but I still feel contentment. When a girl says she's content, stay away. I feel content, but not happy, not complete. He goes to our Lord and he asks, feels this contentment. He feels incomplete. But his mind says, I'm complete, I'm fine. So I'm going to go to our Lord. And he's not a wicked man. He's a good man. He's not a Pharisee. But he goes to our Lord and he says, Lord, I am going to ask you, is there something lacking in me? And the Lord is going to respond. And he's going to say, are you obeying the commandments? Yes. And he's telling the truth. Are you doing all the things I command you? Yes. And he's telling the truth. Do you give to the poor? Yes. And he's telling the truth. Do you say a rosary? Yes, I do. Do you do the things I do? There's nothing lacking in you. And that's how the conversation is supposed to go. But keep on doing as you're doing now. And just persevere. But in fact, what does the gospel tell us? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he saw that rich young man, he was filled with an exceeding great love. He loves everyone. He loves all of us. Every one of us. There are no exceptions. But he is not filled with an exceeding great love for everyone. And he was filled with exceeding great love. He was moved by an exceeding great love and compassion and a great love for that man. And he said, out of love, there is something lacking in you. I want you to go, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And then there will be nothing lacking in you. You will have the greatest of possessions for your mind and heart, for your whole being. You are lacking. You only have a few million dollars. But I am the creator of the universe and I own all things. You come with me, you have everything. You're following a few rules. But if you follow me, you can do everything that I want. You can go beyond the rules. You're not going to be hampered down by rules. You're going to be able to go beyond all that. And all you have to do is get rid of these things that are tying you down. Because I move fast. The Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. The foxes have holes. And the birds have nests. The foxes have dens. But the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. Because I'm always on the move. And when you're on the move, you don't want to travel heavy. I want you to travel with me. I want you to learn what the greatest possession is. I want you to learn what real happiness is. I want you to see the whole universe and not the little part of a bank account and a little part of your possessions, a little part of your position in society, the captain of a toy-making company. There's something more than that. I want you to have more. Go. Sell all you have. Give it to the poor, because it will only tie you down. And then come and follow me. And a few years ago, in the great centuries of peace and happiness in our world, in the Middle Ages, and all these times of peace and happiness, we find that there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of souls that went and sold all they have, gave to the poor, took a vow of poverty, and then followed Christ. And from them comes joy that emanates to the world. From whence comes joy in the real world? It comes from convents. It comes from monasteries. It comes from religious houses. It's an overflowing of the presence of the one who is the source of all love. Why do we go to the religious life? There must be some that are ready to follow Christ. There must be some that want to follow him wherever he goes. And he's going to a cross. After the cross, he's coming to resurrection. After the resurrection, he's going to the top of a mountain. And he's going to tell his apostles, go and teach all nations what you have learned. One of them, St. Andrew, will die on a cross. St. Thomas will die on the hill in India, in Madras. Each preaching the word of God and saying, if you want to be happy, then follow Christ. There's too much sadness in the world. There's too much emptiness in the world. And it's emptiness caused by the tying down of the possession of the wrong things. God meant us to have private property. The communists say you shouldn't. God meant us to possess something. In fact, what is heaven? Heaven is the place of the possession. Private property, the place of the possession of the Creator, the possession of the Creator of all things. God wants us to possess, but he doesn't want us to possess just a few things. He wants us to possess all things. And so this happens when we possess God. And if we don't possess God, then we're thieves. Because whoever does not possess God has no right to touch the things that he has made. Has no right to use the things that he has made. And he has made all things. There must be somebody who wants the greatest possession. Who wants to go after that. And this is the beauty of the religious life. We need souls who want something more. As the angel said to Daniel, behold, thou man of great desires. Where are the men of great desires? Where are the ladies of great desires? We want to bring joy back to our world. We want to bring peace back to our world. We want to bring happiness back to our world. And that is done by souls that give themselves to the greatest possession. And as our Lord said, go, I command you, the vow of obedience. But if you don't go, I'm not going to condemn you. It's only a counsel. Well, you will take it as a vow. And you will make a free vow that says, I take this counsel as a vow. And I bind myself to go where Christ sends me. And that's where it all begins. Go. I want you to go out. And what does it say in the book of Psalms? And they went, weeping. But they came back with maniples. They came back with maniples. They're a thing we wear around the arm. Not supposed to wear it during the sermon. Don't pay attention. It's not there. They come back with maniples. And they come back, we will go out empty, but they will come back with maniples with great joy. They'll come back rejoicing, carrying maniples, which means a bundle of sticks, a bundle of food, a basket filled with good things. So our Lord said to the church young man, go. Go and sell whatever you have. And after you've sold it, you're going to be empty. And hence the psalm says, and they go weeping. and they go weeping. Now, why do we weep? In fact, there are two reasons to weep. We weep because of our sins. We weep because we have offended God. But we also weep when we have a victory. We weep when we've won, when we get the greatest treasure, when we know we're going to get that which is the greatest, that which we love. That's a cause for weeping. And those that really go, like that rich young man should have gone, they go weeping, but not for sorrow, but for joy. And quickly, they throw away all their things. Hence, we have had in the last 2,000 years the greatest gift in the Catholic Church, the gift of religious life. And particularly the sisters, the young girls who stood up against empires. And the king and the emperor and the lords and the dukes said, I will make you my wife and make you very important and make you very wealthy and make you very powerful. And the girl said, I've already got a husband and he's richer than you. He'll never die. He lasts longer. He never grows old, says St. Augustine. Then Augustine says, the problem with you girls is you choose the wrong man. That's the problem. Aren't there some ready to choose a man who will never die? To choose one that will never forget about you. Choose one who will be more than faithful and will carry you to the kingdom of heaven. Why not choose that man? Someone more powerful. Someone higher. Someone who has more to offer. And these girls said to those men, you're a nice guy. Got nothing against you, but I've got a better man. I've got a greater man. I am married to our Lord, and I have taken the vow of virginity, and it shall never be taken from me. And these virgins conquer the world. And it says in the sacred scripture, blessed are the children of the desolate, for she shall have more children than her that hath a husband. A woman marries to have children, but a woman becomes a virgin, she will have more. She will carry so many, an instrument to carry so many children in the kingdom of heaven, because she is married to the God, to Christ. And so the virgin, and then what happened to the rich young man? He walked away sad. We don't even know his name. Fathers of the Church tell us that when he walked away, he was sad, and he probably never walked back. Maybe he saved his soul, maybe he repented. Maybe he did, but most likely he didn't. And even if he did, he never went to the life that God wanted for him, because God was asking the rich young man to become the 13th apostle. And he would still have a 13th apostle. That would be St. Paul. The rich young man said no to God, walked away, and he was a good man. Therefore, God went to a bad man. He went to an evil man, intent upon destroying his kingdom. In other words, a good man doesn't want to follow me, then I'll choose a bad one. And he went to Saul of Tarsus and knocked him off his horse. And he became the 13th apostle. The apostle born out of due time, who wrote 14 epistles, who was responsible for the conversion of the Gentiles, who's the greatest of all the apostles. He left everything to follow Christ. And we have to leave all to follow him. The rich young man was very sad because he made the wrong choice, and it wasn't even a mortal sin. Go sell all you have. Give to the poor, and then come, follow me. Remember what our Lord said to his apostles. They said, Lord, where are you going? And he said, come and see. When we enter the religious life, our Lord, we ask the Lord, where are you going? And he says, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard. Neither hath entered into the heart of man, but God is prepared for those that love him. That's not very helpful. Eye hasn't seen it. I guess you're not telling me what it looks like. Not very helpful, but it's something wonderful. It's something well worth waiting for. And hence we find in those that are true religious, there's an excitement and an anticipation, like a child who's about ready to open the Christmas present. When you open the Christmas present and you find out that it's a book, it's rather depressing. But before you open the present, it's a time of great excitement. And one of the mysteries of following Christ is that when we open the present, it's something more beautiful than a book. But we always have the excitement of about to open the present. As we travel through life, it's normal, for instance, the religious grows older. As the years go by, she becomes closer and closer to death. closer and closer to the day when she will be her last day on this earth, nailed to a cross. And that means closer and closer to resurrection. That means closer and closer to opening presence. And therefore, it is most normal that the religious, as they grow older, should increase in happiness. They should increase in joy. They should increase in peace, because you're getting closer and closer to the goal, closer and closer to happiness, the source of all happiness, which is their God and their spouse. And the love grows deeper and deeper, though there have been many failings. As we travel the religious life, we discover we have many failings, and each religious needs to go to confession still. But they also discover that the master, the spouse, forgives all, and the spouse elevates, and the spouse cleans and purifies us. So we must have a great love and great happiness for the religious life. The world is filled with sadness because it's not filled with monks, and it's not filled with nuns, and it's not filled with sisters, and it's not filled with priests and brothers. But it's meant to be filled with sisters. This will bring happiness to the world. Go, sell all thou hast, give it to the poor, and then come, follow me, to a cross, to resurrection, and to heaven. God bless you all.